Christ is risen.
Indeed, he is risen.
In the Pentateuch for today, it reads, Christ our God, Son of Righteousness, beyond all understanding, O thou who in touching him didst open the eyes of the man born blind, open the eyes of our souls and make us children of light. And then there's another prayer that is contained in the services for today. I come to thee, O Christ, the eyes of my soul blind as the eyes of the man born blind, and in repentance I cry to thee, thou art the light of supreme brightness for all those who are in darkness. So in the prayers of the church, it talks about this condition of spiritual blindness. And today's gospel continues on the theme of faith. Each successive Sunday, you know, St. Thomas and the myrrh-bearing woman and, you know, the paralytic and the Samaritan woman, and now today the blind man. And what a contrast between the faith of this blind man and the doubtful Pharisees who don't want to believe in this healing. In our modern times today, there's often too much emphasis on reason and science and a materialistic view of things, and there's not enough emphasis on faith. And while a certain amount of healthy skepticism can be good so that we don't just become gullible and believe anything and be easily deceived, the fact is we can only go so far with our logical reasoning and, you know, sort of figuring things out. And then we have to take that leap of faith and trust what the scriptures and the Holy Fathers and the Holy Church teach us. In the epistle today, well, reading from the Acts of the Apostles today, it's interesting that the jailer, when the big earthquake happened and Paul and Silas, the chains fall off and they walk out, the jailer's going to, you know, commit seppuku, you know, he's going to fall on his sword because he knows that he'll be done for if he lets these prisoners escape. And Paul forbids him and takes him into his house and he says, what must I do to believe? And Paul simply says, do you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, that he's the Son of God? And the man says, yes, I believe. He says, okay. So then he baptized him. In other words, Paul did not first say, well, listen, now we have to study for about 10 years, you know, and become experts in, you know, patristic theology. Then, you know, we can get baptized. In other words, that leap of faith was required first. And Paul knew that then he would begin to learn more of the particulars of the faith. And that's kind of how it is, you know, for us. So on that theme of also this idea of spiritual blindness, some of you may have seen a movie that came out last year called Heaven is for Real. And if anyone has not seen it, I'll just recount a couple of points about it. It's based on a true story of a four-year-old boy who was very ill. Actually, his appendix had burst, and he had one of these near-death experiences during surgery, but then miraculously recovered. And later, as time went on, he began to tell his parents that while he was in the hospital and everything, that he had visited heaven. And he described some of the things that he'd seen, saw that Jesus and Mary and angels, and he even met some of his departed relatives. In fact, he also met his sister, because his mother had a child that had perished in the womb, and of course they'd never even told this little boy about this, so it's pretty remarkable that he found all these things out. Well, his father was the minister of a Protestant church in Nebraska, and word of this story began to spread around, and the minister and his family found themselves in a somewhat awkward position, because, you know, there were many skeptics. You know, some people said, oh, he's just a little kid, he has a vivid imagination, there's no way that he really saw these things, you know, and other people don't believe in heaven anyway, and so they didn't want to believe that. But it really brought up issues, even for members of the church, about how they looked at heaven, whether it was real or so forth. But we know that there are accounts of similar experiences of Orthodox saints that we read about in the writings of the Holy Fathers down through the centuries. So it is certainly possible that this really happened. But in a way, this story is kind of similar to today's story, because the Pharisees were also uncomfortable with something that they couldn't quite understand. They couldn't quite logically figure out. It didn't make logical sense. Jesus, you know, violated the Sabbath. That means in their eyes he was a sinner, so how could he heal anyone? So then they were trying to figure out everything they could do to discredit Christ. You know, they even say to his parents, you say that he was born blind, you know, there's such a hinting, like, you know, maybe you're just faking it, you know, like he really was seeing all along, he's just pretending to be blind. And of course the parents testified to the fact that, no, he was born blind. And so, even finally the blind man says, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles, you know? So after he had been healed of his physical sight, so now he could see, he was also healed spiritually, because now he could actually understand better than the Pharisees about who Christ was. And so they cast him out, but it was they, the Pharisees, actually, that were in a state of great spiritual blindness and really not discerning the works of God right in front of their own eyes. St. Theophylact says that about this, that every man is spiritually blind from birth, and this, you know, it's part of our fallen state. From the moment we were punished with mortality, a thick cloud covered our eyes like a cloak of flesh. The blind man, therefore, represents all men. He was unable to see his Creator, so God himself visited him. And in his homily on this gospel, Father Milorad Longchor says that spiritual blindness is terrible because it can cause a man not to find himself in this life. A spiritually blind man will finish this earthly life without understanding the essential things. He will not understand eternity. Our understanding of God, our nearness to God's being, is the pledge of our eternal life. For if we do know God, we will endeavor to organize our life according to sacred laws. And this healing of the blind man is also recorded in the Gospels of Mark and Luke. And in that narrative, you know, oftentimes the Gospels show different things that happen. They don't all say precisely exactly the same thing. But in Luke and Mark, the blind man calls out to Christ, kind of like the Jesus prayer, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And some of our holy fathers see in this account an image of prayer in which we have faith that Christ hears our prayer and can help us even though we are unable to see Christ with our bodily eyes. However, just as the resurrected Christ appeared to Luke and Cleopas on the road to Emmaus in the inn when he broke the bread, which is the image of communion. Remember, they didn't recognize him. They're walking along, and just, all of a sudden a stranger just is walking along with them and talking, and they tell him that Jesus Christ was crucified and all these things, and so he starts telling them all about the scriptures and about all the things concerning Christ, but they still didn't see him. They still didn't recognize him. They didn't understand that this was Christ. But when Christ joined them for a meal, and he took the bread and blessed it, then it was like an image of communion. Then they recognized him as the risen Christ, you know. And so, too, we have been given this great gift of Holy Communion in the Divine Liturgy. And so it's possible for us to also recognize with our spiritual eyes, the eyes of our soul, the risen Christ when we partake of communion. So, brothers and sisters, it should be our goal to do everything that we can to ask Christ to heal the eyes of our soul, our spiritual blindness, so that with eyes of greater faith, we might too draw near to Christ. And like the blind man, let us always call out to the Lord in prayer and repentance. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Christ is risen.
Indeed, he is risen.